It's good that we had such an intermission. I was about to say, you'll see me here for the second time, and I promise it's probably going to be the last time today. So if you're already sick and tired of seeing me, this is the final time, probably. Before I bring you God's word, I just want to explain to you what we do, who we are, first of all, as a Baptist Ministry Center and Baptist Churches of Western Australia, who we are, what we do, and who we partner with in what we do. As Baptist Churches in Western Australia, it's good for me to make this first as a beginning. We are 108 churches serving God here in Western Australia. Among us, we have 20 educational providers, and we have a community of 21,165 people that we minister to here in Western Australia. And within our regions, we have 37 regional churches. We also have 32 culturally and linguistically diverse churches in our community. And we have a total church membership of 7,846. That is just to say that not everybody who attends a Baptist church will say that I'm a member of that church, but we welcome everybody to be a member of the church as much as we welcome them to participate in the worship of the church. And that's who we are. And on a weekly basis, on average, we'd have about 11,000 people, 300 attending our churches. And what we do, we give ministry support to our churches. We give ministry support to our ministers. We give ministry support to the next generation. We do evangelize to people who do not know Jesus in our neighborhoods and in our communities. We do give pastoral support to our churches as well. And we do give church leadership support to these churches that they may remain healthy in discipling the communities and to say yes to Jesus. We do also give finance and administration support. We also do organize events for our churches and our communities. We have Sports Fest for young people every year, and we also are going to start having State Baptist Youth Camps from this year. And we also have the Green Team, which serves leavers every year in Dansborough. That's how we serve our community. We also have Baptist camping centers. We have two camping centers that offer accommodation to people and from our churches as well who seek to do ministry through camps in those campsites so that they can continue to disciple people in more distinct ways and in more purposeful ways as they go out to camp. We offer ministry standard support to our churches as well through Safe Church training. We just heard that you're going to have a training that you've been invited to very soon. And who do we partner with in what we do so that we are better in what we do? We partner with basically with different organizations that are all started by Baptist people to offer services and to serve our community, basically. We partner with Baptist Care to offer aged care services. We partner with Baptist Business Support Services to support our churches and even beyond our churches. Actually, we support more than Baptist churches through Baptist Business Support Services. And we support churches beyond the state of Western Australia through that. We also partner with Baptist Financial Services, offering loans and financial services to churches beyond just the Baptist churches that you belong to. We have Baptist Insurance Services as well. And for educational purposes, we also partner with Morling College, which offers academic training for people who are seeking to be involved in ministry. We partner with Baptist World Aid locally and internationally to offer aid to communities and to people who are facing suffering of many kinds. We also locally offer support to communities through evangelism, and we do this through an organization called Crossover that ministers to people through evangelism and finds ways to minister to spread the gospel to people locally in Australia. And we also offer submission to communities that do not know Jesus internationally through Baptist Mission Australia. And so that's who we are. That's what we do. And those are who we partner with to do better what we do. And so if you had thought Baptist churches is just Inglewood Community Church and probably another Baptist church that you drove past when you're coming here, we are bigger than that. And that's something to praise God for. We are serving locally in our communities. We are serving locally in our state. We are serving nationally in this country, and we are serving internationally, all to help people say yes to Jesus. Now, this morning, as we think about serving, I want to talk about shepherding like Christ. And this is a topic that is not a topic that I prepared for Peter, because we are inducting Peter and Alicia today. No, this is actually for all of us. And so I'll be giving examples of people who have served with distinction. There will be people who are locally known. There'll be people who are probably internationally known. And there'll be people who are globally known. People who have served Jesus with distinction. They shepherded communities like Christ did. And so before we get into this word, let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it is living and active. It's sharper than any double-edged sword. We thank you that, Lord, it penetrates deep into dividing bone and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of our hearts. And Lord, we thank you that you meet us so much in our specific needs through your word. And so, Lord, may you speak to us now. And Lord, I pray that you may use me as I explain this word in Jesus' name. Amen. And so I'm going to read 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 1 to verse 4. If you have your Bible, please follow with me. It's a very short passage, just 4 verses. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 1 to 4. To the elders among you, I appeal as a fellow elder, a witness of Christ's sufferings, and one who also will share in the glory to be revealed. Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, serving as overseers, not because you must, but because you're willing, as God wants you to be, not greedy for money, but eager to serve, not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. That's God's word. Now, 2 years ago, I met the national leader of Baptist churches in New Zealand. His name is Charles Hewlett. And I traveled to New Zealand. I was with Mark Wilson there, who's seated here. And Charles Hewlett shared that Paul's words in Philippians chapter 4, verse 2, be completely humble and gentle, be patient, bearing with one another in love, that those words have influenced his leadership. He also said that his leadership has been shaped by people with severe intellectual and physical disability. His daughter was born with an inoperable brain cancer. And despite living until she was 13, her life was marked by much suffering. And his 28-year-old son lives with the cognitive abilities of a 9-month-old baby. This man has served as a principal of a Bible college, and those who studied under him testify of his Christ-like humility and the love for all people that marks him out. He serves God as if it was the only thing left for him to be done on earth, despite of his sufferings. The Apostle Peter imitated Christ in life and in leadership, and he writes these words as a person who has exemplified doing that. Therefore, in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 1, first of all, he writes to believers generally. He says, think of your sufferings the way Christ thought about his sufferings. And then in 1 Peter chapter 4, chapter 5, verse 1 to 4, he's now teaching us that to be a leader the same way that Christ was a leader is to accept suffering as part of it, and then there's going to be glory that is going to come after that. So Peter is teaching that Christ's standard, Peter is teaching that the standard for leadership is Christ's example. That's the standard for leadership. He has acknowledged that God has given each one of us gifts of various kinds, and he says that in chapter 4, verse 10 to 11, which is appearing on the board. He says, each one should use whatever gift they have received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one speaking the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength that God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and power forever and ever. And so the example that Peter gives for service is saying that the standard is Jesus. That's the standard. And so I want us to look at three ways that Christ is the standard for leadership today as we think about shepherding like Christ. He's the standard for leadership because Christ offers us an example of active caring. And we see in verse 2, Peter actually talks about this. He says in verse 2, "Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, serving as overseers." Now, this is the Peter, the apostle, who spent so much time with Christ. He saw how Christ served him. In fact, Christ served him in such a way, so distinct, that in John chapter 13, Christ gave an example of a parable for service, and Peter was uncomfortable with Christ's example for service. He said, "You can't do that, Lord. You can't serve me like that." That was the example of Christ. It was active caring, showing care, showing nurturing, feeding. And that's how just Jesus was. And so when Jesus shows compassion to his disciples, Peter included, he's showing them the example for service, how to guide the flock. Now, how do you guide the flock under your care that is given to you by Jesus as a responsibility? The most effective method of monitoring the condition of our flock is by checking how they feed on the word of Christ. It's Christ who has given us the flock. It's Christ who has put people around us. And then Christ gives us the responsibility. And then Christ gives us his word so that the flock may feed on that word, which presupposes that we need to know that word if we are to use it to feed others or if we're to use it to teach others. So our response is checking on other people. How are they applying God's word? People around you, how are they applying God's word? How do they respond to their daily life challenges? How do they react to the dominant culture around them that takes their hearts away from Christ? Do they depend on the word of Christ during life's difficulties? Are they feeding on the word of Christ above everything else? What are they feeding on? So that's a question that you ask yourself in relation to people that you're thinking, "I think I have a burden to minister to that person." That's how you need to think. That's really what Peter is saying. And so Peter is giving us an example of feeding others because he himself remembers how Christ told him, commanded him three times, "If you love me, feed my sheep." It was as simple as that. If you love me, feed my sheep. And so how do you check your love for others? It's checking your love for Christ first. Check your love for Christ first, and then ask yourself, am I really living the love that Christ gave me to live out, which is feed my sheep? Now, that example of feeding of the sheep was given specifically to Peter. But you'll see that it actually involves all of us who have been gifted differently by God, by Christ himself. And then in verse 2 and 3, Peter gives warnings about harmful attitudes to avoid that are the opposite of active caring. You can offer active caring, but you can offer active caring and do other harmful things as well. And those are the harmful things that he's saying, don't do this. And so in verse 2 he says, do not be shamefully greedy when you serve others. Do not take advantage of those you're leading so that you think of them as you're leading them for your own gain, financially or otherwise. Instead, serving others means putting on an attitude similar to Christ rather than a self attitude, an attitude that is eager to serve. And then the second warning he gives in verse 3 is that do not be domineering over those that you are serving. Now, a domineering person takes authority over them to take advantage over them. Sometimes they use the authority even to bully others because they want something back. But such attitudes repel people from Christ because it's not active caring. And so we need to think about the attitudes that we put on that will attract people to Christ, not just to us. If our lives are pointing people to Jesus, our service will point them to Jesus as well. Now, my family attends North Beach Baptist Church. I didn't tell you I came with my wife. She's here. My family attends North Beach Baptist Church. One of the reasons why we attend North Beach Baptist Church is because of a woman who welcomed us the very first time we visited the church. She was standing by the door. Her name is Eleanor Daniels. She went to be with the Lord a few years ago. She's in heaven, yes. Did you know her? Oh, you knew her?
Yeah.
Oh, she's such an example of godly service. She was. No wonder somebody even here knows her. Now, after the worship service, as we were about to leave the church, my wife and I, we were out by the door and waiting for our son to join us. But our son was stood right by the foyer, by the entrance, talking to this lady called Eleanor Daniels. And they just kept talking. My son was 16 then. They just kept talking like two good friends who have known each other for a very long time. And we wondered, what are they talking about? What is an old woman discussing with a 16-year-old young boy, a man? Well, after our son joined us, we didn't even ask him, what were you talking about? We were just glad that there was someone that she was talking to, that was talking to him. Well, that 4 days later, I was coming from my office, went home, and my wife tells me, guess what? Someone visited us from church. And I asked her, which church? And she said, from North Beach Baptist Church, which we attended on Sunday. At that time, we were actually looking for a church when this happened. And my wife told me it was that lady who was talking to our son by the foyer. She visited us. And I said, but I didn't see her talking to you that long. Did you give her our address? No, I didn't. I said, I didn't give her our address either, but she came. She kind of somehow extracted that from our son and wrote it down. Secretly wrote it down, and she visited us 4 days later, and her example made us that day to decide that's going to be our church. There's someone there who cares. There's someone there who showed us compassion in a distinct way. That day we decided that's going to be our church. Eleanor Daniels exemplified active caring, and I learned that over 100 people started attending that church because of her and because of the way she exemplified serving the Lord. She didn't hold on to any titles in that church. She wasn't called a women's leader or any other title. She was just Eleanor. That's an example of active caring from people just within our local community. Now, shepherding like Christ also means being an example of Christ. And Peter says this in verse 3, but part B. And the best way to avoid the two warnings, first of all, that we have been warned, that he has given us, is by being these examples to the flock. Christ is the chief shepherd. We know him as such. That is how Peter introduces him to us in verse 4. He is the chief shepherd, meaning that he is the greatest person to serve us. He had a great title, but that title was a title for service. He had a great status. He didn't display that status to us as if we were to serve him. Instead, he served us. And so in Matthew chapter 20, verse 26 to 28, Jesus taught us this way about serving. He says, not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first must be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. Jesus taught that the way to greatness in God's kingdom is not how the world understands greatness. The world understands greatness as being on top of everybody, lording it over people. That's how greatness is. in the world's systems and in our cultures. But Christ's example for greatness is that greatness means being the least of all, being the servant who serves everybody, looking for ways to serve people without anyone noticing. They will notice eventually, but your attitude is not that they may notice. Your attitude is so that Christ may be exemplified. And so the most outstanding leaders of our faith are those who followed Jesus' example for service. The Apostle Paul is one of those. Paul wrote, "Imitate me as I imitate Christ." This means immersing yourself in Christ so that the life of Christ is manifested through everything that you do. You're serving others. People do not see you as a great person or a person who's seeking to be an eloquent and a great person, but people are seeing you as, this is just a humble servant, serving us through their speech, serving us through their works. And they say, it feels like Christ is here. Now, there are times when I have, as a leader, I have been unapproachable and hostile to others, including my family. And those times have been times when I did not immerse myself in Christ. You know, there are times that you get so familiar with being a Christian that you forget that this has got to be a daily surrendering to Jesus, so that you're fully immersing yourself in Him. There have been those dark days that have kind of just sprung out of my own self and forsaken Christ who is in me and served with my own strength, my own wisdom. And I can tell you, those have been dark times for the people around me that I'm serving. Don't be like me. Immerse yourself in Christ so that you may imitate His leadership. Imitating Christ in our leadership can sometimes lead to our suffering, because giving yourself to Christ in that way means that there are certain things you will have to forsake. There are privileges you will have to forsake. There are your own times will have to suffer. Probably even watching that cricket match that you really wanted to follow, you might give it up, because you have to want to spend time with someone else for the sake of that cricket match that you wanted to follow. And so there's going to be something that will have to be given. And when you give it out, you feel like there's something that you have lost. That's just a simple form of suffering that I've given an example for. But following an example of Christ's service is beautiful, because it doesn't compare with the world's standards, it compares with His, and it brings glory to Him. And so being a shepherd is like those two ways, following into Christ's example. But thirdly, what's the motivation for shepherding? This is the final point that I'll have, and let's look at verse 4. In verse 4, Peter says, "And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away." In verse 4, Peter is encouraging believers to have a future perspective in everything that they do. In other words, to be of earthly use, we need to be heavenly minded. And Peter says, when the chief shepherd appears, which means we are looking forward to His appearing, Peter is saying, we are looking forward to the appearing of the chief shepherd. When He appears, you'll receive the unfading crown of glory. When Jesus was about to go to the cross, where He went to service, giving us the ultimate service. This is the ultimate service because He had lived His life perfectly. If anyone needed to go to that cross, it was someone who was truly guilty. He was guilty of no sin. He had no sin. And so His clean life as a chief shepherd was the qualification that took Him to the cross as the Son of God. And when He was about to go to the cross, He prayed for Himself in John chapter 17, verse 4 to 5. And He said this to the Father. He says, "I have brought you glory on earth by completing the work you gave me to do. And now, Father, Glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began. So he kept his eyes focused on the glory he had with God before the world began, and he kept his focus on the service that God sent him to offer to us. And so our chief shepherd's life on earth was marked by glorifying God through his life and through his work on the cross. And then God glorified him when he finished that work on the cross, that work on earth. And so our chief shepherd's reward was that God glorified him when he had completed his work. And now Peter is saying that that chief shepherd will appear. When that chief shepherd appears, we who have served him will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. Now, we must never forget. We must never forget that we did not earn this salvation that he gave us. It was given to us by grace. And then he gave us this salvation by grace. And then he gave us gifts also. And then he expects us to use these gifts to serve him. And then he will reward us. Look, it's all about him. It's all about him. Ours is to be obedient. So whether you have been designated with a title in your service or not, whether you've been ordained for it or not, our work is to care for those who are under our authority faithfully. And so when there's an opportunity to serve, as there was a call here that there's need for a volunteer to serve us, to administer matters to do with meals and food for us, don't think about someone else and think, that person is more qualified to do that because they bring the best brownies to church. That's the worst way to think about service. Thinking about it in light of someone else who can do it rather than me who has the gifts to do it, it's you. There's not going to be some mystical voice from somewhere to say to you with a strange voice, it's you. Don't wait for it. Just know it's you. Because you have those gifts. And because you have those gifts, God has given them to you by his grace. Use them to serve him with distinction. And so, friends, there is a reward from God for giving us the gifts of grace to serve him. And in the end, this reward that we will receive is a reward of that is from God himself, that will glorify God. And then we will lay those rewards again before him as he has rewarded us. We will lay them again before him as we honor him. What an amazing way of serving. Now, the Australian cricket team is selected on merit. Nobody joins that team because they are mediocre or just because they know how to hit a ball once in a while when a ball is thrown at them. The players are selected by merit, and then they train diligently to win trophies. Imagine if the cricket selectors ignored merit and just had a team of randomly selected people that are made up of a bunch of friends of theirs who can only hold a bat but don't have an eye for the ball. Well, what would happen is that we will see very little crowds of people who only know them, and we'll not see the same crowds of people who go and cry for autographs to be signed by these great players who represent their country with distinction. And they say, I'm putting on the baggy green to serve my country with distinction. They say that. They know that that's their job. Now, no one will seek to obtain autographs from poorly performing players. In fact, they won't come. They won't come to watch poorly performing players. Now, remember that God has called us to himself by his grace. We did nothing to merit the calling. But he also equips us with every gift to serve him again by grace. And he will reward us for faithfully using the gifts he gave us to serve him. How are you serving him? Is Christ your most significant example of service that you're offering? I've given examples of people who have served Christ with distinction. I've given examples of people who have shepherded others well. Those are the kinds of people that If they were still here, I'd be going to get their autographs. I'd be going to get their autographs because they've signed, because they've served well. Probably if I don't see them to get their autographs, like I didn't get an autograph from Eleanor Daniels, one day in heaven I'll just be rejoicing because I'll see so many other people that you touched their lives. So whose autograph will you sign? Whose autograph will you sign? That's a question I want you to answer for yourself.